But the question is this: when you go to sleep, are you prepared when you wake up? Or have you fallen asleep unprepared? See, that's the key. I think sleep here is the indication life goes on. I sleep, I wake up, I do it again. Life goes on. You're not staying there the whole time looking up to heaven and just going, are you coming? Are you coming? Are you coming? Are you coming? Right? You got to live. You got to live. But as you live, you're watching. As you live, you're looking. As you live, and you're always, your mind's always on saying, I'm living for Christ, living for Christ. That's what it means to stay awake.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Live in the Light. We're glad that you're here today because yesterday we started looking verse by verse into Matthew 25 in a series we're calling Urgency, Opportunity, and Mercy. Hey, last time we began with the first 13 verses of chapter 25, and we started looking at the parable of the 10 virgins. Today's message is a challenging one for sure, but a very important one, and one that we pray God uses to cause a great deal of self-examination. Asking ourselves the question today, honestly, are we ready? Hey, here's Pastor Robbie in Matthew 25 to explain more with today's message.
The visible church is the church as Christians on earth see it. You walk in this church right now. This is a visible expression right now of the local church. You look around, you're like, well, okay, there's people are here. They are representing that they are part of the church because they're here physically. It's what we see. But notice here the difference. But the invisible church is the church as God in heaven sees it. Now, what's the difference there? God knows who's truly saved and who truly belongs to him. We don't. So here's the reality, okay? This is very important. The visible church among us right now, but the reality is not every person here is part of the invisible church. Who? I don't know. God does. But there's no question there are people here right now that are not genuinely saved by grace through faith, Holy Spirit in them, born again, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, and will never die. There's no question there are some here right now who are not alive in Jesus Christ. And God knows precisely whose are his and whose aren't. Now, our hope is that so many people would attend this church who are not saved, that they might become saved, that they might know the Lord Jesus Christ and they might be brought from death to life. I mean, that's the whole reason we're here, is to make disciples. But it's very, very important to say, just because you walk into a church and sit down doesn't mean you're actually a part of God's family. Man, I don't have to tell you. I mean, just think of all the people across our post-Christian nation, but even now still sitting in churches across this land who think they're in, but in the end, God will say, I never knew you. This is what Jesus is teaching right now. Every true believer has the oil, has the Holy Spirit. They have been transformed by grace through faith. And Jesus, again, is going out of his way to teach us this difficult, but really grace-filled, truth-centered message. You think of how many people have played the game, professing to belong, but their lives say otherwise. And again, this is why I really do get excited with passages like this, as hard as it is at times, but I get so excited because this is the truth that sets you free. I mean, like, there are some here right now, and you have been playing a game. Do you know that you know that you know that you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe you know right now that you've been playing the game your whole life. Maybe, like, there's no question. Like, you would just know for sure. You just kind of say the right things and show up at the right times. But the reality is you've always kind of looked around and said, man, I don't sense God alive in me. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. The Lord is so over your life even now. So principle number one, man, do not confuse the professing church from the actual church. Principle number two, the return of Christ will take many by surprise. It will take many by surprise. Look at verse 5 now. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Let's stop there. Notice first the Bible says the bridegroom was delayed. This is understandable. The bridegroom is on his own timetable. It's his celebration. Isn't that such a key point, eh? For 2,000 years, people have scoffed and mocked. Where's Jesus? Where is he? He said he's going to return. How come he hasn't come back yet? What's up, man? And checking my watch. Been a long time. Are you sure? Has he forgotten? Even the Bible talks about that. But remember what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3. For 1,000 years is a day to the Lord, and a day is like 1,000 years. So, Jesus has been delayed 2 days. Think about it, right? But notice, when he's delayed, that's when you find out what people are made of. It's the test of the patience. Jesus says, blessed are those who have never seen me and believed. It's very interesting. The Bible's telling us that there's supposed to be a delay. Now, listen to what happens. What's understandable, as the bridegroom is delayed, the virgins, all of them, wise and foolish, they get tired. It says they become drowsy and they sleep. This is important. In this parable, sleep is not sinful because the wise and the foolish both do it. And the wise are granted access into heaven. But the question is this, when you go to sleep, are you prepared when you wake up? Or have you fallen asleep unprepared? See, that's the key. I think sleep here is the indication life goes on. Life must be lived. School has started. I got to show up for work. I do my activities. I have some hobbies. I have some interests here. Try to raise the kids. Go on. Again, put some food on the table for the family. It's just, I go through life. I work. I play. I sleep. That's a great spot for an amen, right? Sleep's good. Sleep's good, right? I sleep. I wake up. I do it again. Life goes on. You're not staying there the whole time looking up to heaven and just going, are you coming? Are you coming? Are you coming? Are you coming? Right? You got to live. You got to live. But as you live, you're watching. As you live, you're looking. As you live, and you're always, your mind's always on saying, I'm living for Christ, living for Christ. That's what it means to stay awake. So sleep is not the sinfulness. It's that the foolish virgins fell asleep, but they were unprepared to meet the bridegroom. That's so many people in our world today. So many people even attending church. Think about this. The moment Christ returns, they think they're prepared because they're holding a lamp. Now, that's a very important insight here too, right? But I have a lamp. But I got a lamp. But I go to church. But I have religion. But I own a Bible. But I've done some good works. But I have a lamp. I have a lamp. I have a facade. I have an appearance of someone who's ready. I have a lamp. Yeah, but your lamp's got no oil. If you got no oil, you can't light it. And if you can't light it, you don't get in. But I got a lamp. Yeah, but it's not the lamp that gets you in. It's the Holy Spirit oil that proves that you've been invited and belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 6, it says, at midnight, a cry is let out. Here's the bridegroom. So interesting here. The bridegroom is not quite there yet, but he's been sighted. He's coming, he's coming. It reminds us of such a beautiful verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel. Cry. And with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Now, I love this. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. With what words? Encourage one another with eschatology. The reality of who we're living for, and the reality of any moment now, the imminent return of Christ. You know, D.L. Moody, he preached in Brooklyn in 1875. Thousands were converted through his ministry. Pastor Henry Beecher struggled to understand this phenomenon. He watched the ministry of Moody. He's like, what's happening here? How come this is happening? And then he met Moody personally, and he said this, I saw the secret of his working and plans. He says, I saw the secret to Moody's ministry. What was it? He says, he is a believer in the second advent of Christ and in our own time. He thinks that Christ may come even tomorrow. See, Moody lived in such a light in the light of eternity, and such with the expectation of Christ's return, it propelled him to be so vigilant and have so much urgency for the gospel in the moment, because he believed today could be the last day. Pause, apply that thought to your life and mine. Are we living with a sense of urgency? Are we falling asleep with Netflix? I can say that because I don't have Netflix. I'll apply it to myself. I could fall asleep watching football tomorrow, opening day of NFL season. So many people are wasting their lives on nothing. Video games. Oh, help me. I mean, think about it, right? Just counting money. Frivolous. Foolish. That's what the Lord will call it, if that's all we're living for. Wasting our time. Frivolous stuff. Just our days going by. For what? For what? I mean, this is what's right here before us right now. Let us heed the warning overall. Don't fall so asleep that you fail to live for what matters. Jesus saying many have fallen asleep to their own peril. Why? Because they failed to prepare for eternity. It's like the classic student who is cramming at the last moment for a big exam or something like that, and they leave it all to the last night. I'm gonna pull all-nighter. And halfway through their all-nighter, they just fall asleep. They fall apart. They can't do it anymore. And they wake up the next morning. They got no time left. And they just say, I'm dead. And they are dead because they failed to prepare. And failing to prepare is preparing to fail. And the consequences for them are a bad mark. But listen, in this thing called life, many, many, many will say that at the moment Jesus Christ appears, I'm dead, because they haven't prepared. And the consequences will be eternal. There's so many verses that speak on the return of Christ and the reality. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. I want you to see that here. Listen to this. Behold, he is coming. Jesus is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Like, this is like, in the Bible says, like all in Matthew and Luke and stuff, Jesus says, listen, if people say he's out there in the fields, go see him. He's like, no. Don't believe them. Because when I come, everyone will see me all at once. Not one person will be mistaken. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, probably referring to the Jewish people. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Now, some commentators want to say, well, that's because they're going to wail in repentance. No, most commentators say they're wailing because they know at that moment he's the king and they're dead. They will see him coming and they will know in that moment, I'm dead. Because I have rejected him my entire life. I have spit in his face. I have killed him. I have mocked him. I have served myself. I have lived for this world. I have hated Christ and all his family. And they will see him all of a sudden. They will realize it is him. And I don't belong to him. And they will wail and mourn on the account of his arrival. The arrogance of humankind in our day. It will all be dealt with. Listen to this, even so, amen. Like, this isn't fun, but it's true. This is the warning. See, this is love. This is grace. Jesus says, this is what's gonna happen, but it doesn't have to be that way for you and me. This leads us directly into our third principle. Principle number three, many will wake up when it's too late. Look at verse 7 now. Again, all I'm doing is telling you what the Bible says. Verse 7, then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, Well, since there will not be enough for us and you, you go to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And then while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, are we ready? Are we ready? Those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and then the door was shut. Again, trim their lamps. Verse 7 literally means put their torches in order. Apparently, a torch oil would typically last like 15 minutes. So if you're going somewhere and you're anticipating the procession is going to take a little bit of time and you don't bring any oil, that makes you foolish, dumb, stupid. Right? It doesn't make any sense. Why would you not bring oil with you? Like, what's the problem here? So this is tragic. Notice here, the wise say, we can't give you some of ours. There's not enough for both of us. Notice the foolish, they say, give us some of your oil. And the wise respond, go buy for yourselves. So interesting here. What are we learning? We're learning this, okay? The oil, it's not that the wise don't want to be generous. The principle of scripture here is this. You can't share your salvation with someone else. You can't share the Holy Spirit. Here, I'll give you some of my Holy Spirit. Here you go. You can't do that. You can't share your faith. I got faith in Christ. I'll give you some of my faith. You can't share God's grace. You can say, well, God's been gracious to me. He's given me his grace. I'm saved. Here, take a bit of his grace in your life. I'll do it for you. You can't do that. That's the principle here. You need your own oil. You need your own grace. You need your faith in Christ for yourself. I mean, stop long enough and ask these questions right now. Am I resting on someone else's faith for my life right now? Won't work. Hey, there's some kids right now, man. You're just like, well, I'm kind of tagging along with my dad. Tag along with my mom's faith. You know, she's pretty faithful. She loves the Lord. I'll just kind of stay close to her and I think it's going to work out. Won't. No, it won't. It will not work. You need your own oil, man. You personally before the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question too. Are some of you playing the game of, I'm just going to wait a little longer. You know, I'll get some fun out, go to some parties, do my thing, you know, live for myself. And by the end, I'll turn to my car and accept Jesus. That's a dangerous, dangerous game. Jesus is saying right now too, and he's like saying, you want to play that game? You know, wake up before it's too late. Because as soon as he comes, man, it is too late. There is no second chance. The chance is right now. The grace is right now. The moment Jesus Christ returns, the door gets shut. I mean, right now, I just appeal to you. I don't know who's here right now in that context, but I'm just telling you, man, if you think you're gonna wait, you know, wait till your deathbed or whatever it might be, you don't know how many days you have. You have no idea, man. Today could be it. You might have an hour left. To be so foolish to say, you know, I'll see. Really? We're rolling the dice on eternity with Christ or separated and destruction apart from Christ. Rolling the dice. You look at verses 11 and 12. Scary. Afterward, the other versions came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you. I mean, these are the worst words you could ever hear in all of eternity. I do not know you. I do not know you. The door is shut. At the moment Jesus Christ returns, there's a flash that bursts onto the entire earth. And everyone will see. But the moment that happens, again, Revelation 1:7, it's too late. It's too late. What have I done? What have I done? Think of how many, this is so key today. Think of how many will say, yeah, but my lamp, my religion. And Jesus says, but that's all it was. It was religion. There was no relationship. You prayed your prayers. You did your good deeds. You went to church a couple times. You did that, but there was no relationship. But I got my lamp. Again, there's no oil in your lamp. Jesus says, and because of that, You didn't really know me. And therefore, I don't know you. Remember, this is what the kingdom of heaven will be like. Loved one, this is not what the kingdom of heaven is like right now. Because the door is not shut. And the opportunity for love and life is here. Jesus, through this message, he extends his grace again. You see, he has not returned yet, so the door of salvation is wide open. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the living water. Jesus is the great physician. Jesus is perfect love. Jesus is the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is our Savior and Redeemer. He's the resurrection and the life. He is grace. He is mercy. He is everlasting love. Jesus says, I am the door to eternal life. And it is wide open right now for all those with eyes to see and the faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the answer. And Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will never, ever cast out. The gospel, you recognize you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ becomes everlasting life within you. Oh, may the door be not found shut. Where are you today? And who are you today? Are you foolish or are you wise? Such an important passage. Such an important moment. May the Lord work and save. It takes us to our fourth and final principle, which is this. True believers then, wise believers, must be watchful and ready. Verse 13. Summarizes the entire parable. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Watch therefore, loved ones. Notice, for you know neither the day nor the hour. I want you to look at Matthew 24, verse 42. I just want you to see the theme here through this. And by the way, if you want some homework, it is school season, so homework's okay. Read Matthew 24 and 25. Absorb the context. See how much Jesus says, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. Read it. I encourage you, study it this week. Matthew 24, 42. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Verse 44 of chapter 24. Therefore, you also must be ready, be ready, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Isn't that interesting, huh? And then our passage, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Jesus is repeating himself over and over again. Watch therefore. Live with an urgency. Let's just flush that out as we end here. What does that mean? Watch therefore. You know neither the day nor the hour. It means this. It means walk with wisdom. Don't be dumb. God, help us not be dumb. Waste my life away on that which doesn't last. Walk out of here with wisdom today. Walk with wisdom. It's all been laid before you tonight. Wait with vigilance. Be alert, be alert. We're waiting. The Bible talks about those who have longed for his appearing. Longing. There's so many different verses. We'll go through them in the weeks to come. But waiting with vigilance for him. We're busy for him as we wait, we are busy and busy as we wait. You can do both at the same time. Watch with urgency. Live for the kingdom. Priorities and alertness and kingdom living. Following Christ, 5G life. That's watching with urgency. Got one life, one chance. And then this worship with fervency. I mean, that's what we've done since we've been here, even in the service. It's so good because this is where all of life is lived, in the worship of the King. And may our worship not be complacent and lethargic and blah, 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 but real. I'm praying for that in my life. You're praying that for yours? I mean, every day I walk up, this is a fight for me. This isn't easy. My temptation is to be a sluggard or is to kind of be mediocre in the pursuit of Christ. I feel that every day. But right now, times like this being together, I'm just like, yes, Holy Spirit. This is what you want to do in our lives. This is what you want to do in this church. Just think, you know, the door shut in verse 10. That's the bad side of shut off for those who cannot get in. But think about this, loved ones, too. One day soon, the door will be shut and shut at last. The door will be shut in all pain. The door will be shut in all sickness. The door will be shut in all sorrow. The door will be shut in all weakness and depression and mourning. The door will be shut on death forever. And that is why we live, and that is why we live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is why we live with urgency. So may God use this series in a remarkable way to call people forward to say, come on, it's time. Let's get involved. Let's go for Christ. Let's not waste our lives. We have one chance at this. God help us. Let's pray. Jesus, would you save people right now? I pray, Jesus, you already have saved people. There's been so many opportunities in this service already. The gospel's been spoken over a dozen times, probably at least. I pray, Lord, you've used that. And I just pray even now, if there's another person here right now, what are you waiting for? Give your life to Jesus. Jesus is real. Jesus lived and died for your sins. He was raised from the dead to defeat death. You can't get there by your good works. You won't be able to take your lamp without the oil. It won't work. You need Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit. You need his grace. You place your faith. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you. You died for me. Save me. This is all you got to say to him. I confess you as Lord. Save me from my sins. Make me alive. I'm not here by accident. Jesus, I live for you. I don't know what it will bring in this world, but I know for sure what the future holds in Christ. I know I'm guaranteed life eternal in you. I don't want the door to be shut on me, Lord. Please, no, anything but that. Take me now. Save me now. May I know it with all certainty, all assurance. I'm alive in Jesus Christ. Revive the lukewarm, God. Renew, Lord, the mediocre. Put a spark and light the fire of those, Lord, whose lamps have become dim. And oh God, may we live with the reality that your return is imminent. The personal, bodily return of Jesus. One day so soon, and everything will be made clear. Everything. In that moment, all of life comes into focus. So if that's what's going to be then, help us to live like that now. That's the point. That's why you bring us Matthew 25, a church filled with an urgency for Jesus. Lord, I'm not praying this prayer just to say it. I'm praying this prayer because I believe it. And I pray hundreds will join me in the process and the pursuit of you. In Jesus' name.
Wow, well, a strong word from God's word today. A message of hope for all of us today. We pray that you receive that from the Lord today and your hearts are encouraged by that and you face this day delighting in the hope that's found in the Lord Jesus. And loved ones, just a reminder, we would love here at Live in the Light, we would love to hear from you if God's been moving in such a strong way, maybe even just today, providing you with that great message of hope. Our phone number is 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-LIGHT. Or you can reach out to us via our website at liveinthelight.ca. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.